You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.
Rob, what's good, homie?
Mike, guess who officially came out of retirement today from the bowling world, from the COVID bowling world?
Who's
That's
that?
That's me, brother. Yep, I signed up to bowl the tat. I'm all registered on to bowl one squad on Saturday. Already got my equipment order in. Man, I'm gonna hit the lanes a little bit the next couple days. Practice.
Here's the important question from my perspective, though. Is it free equipment or equipment you paid for?
Well, not that I'm not on staff anymore, because you love telling everybody that they dropped me. So
I love telling everybody that you don't really bowl. So it's hard to get on a staff when you're on a podcast and your co-host is always talking shit about how you don't bowl.
But guess what, though? Like, now I get to throw all the equipment. So I got some rotos coming. I got a storm coming. I still got my EBI and some hammer stuff. So, Mike, I just got to, you know, get into bowling shape and, you know, hit the lanes on the tat week. I'll hit the practice session a little bit. So if you see me out there, people, throw me a shout, man. See what's good. Maybe you could help me out on what's going on out there, because it's bowling in the South Point Stadium, Mike. I hate that place. My bowl rolls like ass there. So unless I could play right at 10 with a purple hammer, I'm dead. So I might just roll in there with like one ball and shoes, and just like, if the purple hammer don't work, then I just leave. That's kind of where I'm at.
I mean, listen, it sounds like you have a really positive mental outlook going into the weekend. Sounds like
I'll make it work. Don't worry, Mike. I'll make it work.
Sounds like you're all set there, Hoss.
I'm gritty, bro. I'll make it. Don't worry. One squad, I'm going to be in and out. Plus, I'm in the 39 and over division now, so I don't even got to bowl against the young bulls. You know, it's the benefit of getting old and being, turning 40 this year. So, Mike, I know we got a big show ahead. So what's good with you? And how was the weekend?
Yeah, you know what we need, Rob? Here's what we need. Somebody reach out to us, hook us up. We should maybe use our connections. But if you're out there, you watch this and you can reach out to us. Rob, we need Sweep the Rack bowling shirt too.
Oh, what? So we match up like Beef and Barnsley, so that you match like, well, no.
Oh, I'm talking something so much doper than what they have. I mean, you know, come on.
They have a barn
on their logo. No, I mean, come on. No offense, guys. Like, love.
As long as we could put the logo on an Under Armour shirt, man, I'm good.
I don't know. We need something. All right, we'll get on that. Rob, we do have a big show tonight. We have a lot going on tonight. Rob, where else, Rob, are you going to get the info, get the introduction on the guys who are going to be on these upcoming shows that the fans might not be so familiar with? Rob, where are you going to get that?
Only on Sweep the Rack Podcast, baby.
Right here, because this is what we're into. We are bowling nerds. Yeah, we are bowling nerds over here. We no disrespect to the players that, you know, are always shining in the spotlight. Rob, we've had a lot of those guys on as well. But hey, listen, Rob, some new faces are going to be on these upcoming shows, and we want to know who these guys are. We know the fans want to know who these guys are. So, Rob, we reached out to them. I hunted them down, Rob. Literally hunted them down from my wife's Facebook, okay, and sending messages to random people who were congratulating them on Facebook, saying, "Yo, I do this podcast. I need to get in touch with this guy to get him on my show. What's good?" But we're in the mix, people. We got three tonight. We have one act lined up definite for next week. We're working on the second. So we're excited. We're excited to have these guys on and welcome them on. Rob, the first guest we're going to welcome on tonight, bowled in the East region. He actually led the event for a good portion of the event, Rob, which I found extremely impressive, and I'm going to ask him about that. He is going to be bowling in the 3 seed. In the East show. Okay. So we're going to welcome him on for the first time, obviously. Michael Davidson. Let's bring him on, Rob.
What's up, everyone?
Michael, how are you? I mean, listen, yeah, it's got to be a hell of a week for you, right?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, great come true so far.
Obviously, right? First thing I got to ask is, you know, to be on Sweep the Rack, man, where's this rank? I mean,
it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling.
No, in all serious though, you know.
Oh, it's congrats. The beard though, man. Yo, it's the beard. Yo, yeah. I need to get a beard. Yo, seriously, like the beard's in, Mike, these days. I'm thinking
beard
like,
is good luck. The beard is good luck.
I might have to get one before the tat, man. I might make the show, and then you could have me on as a guest.
Exactly.
There you go. Okay.
All right. So, Michael, welcome. You know, welcome to Sweep the Rack. You know, we like to keep things light around here. So, you know, don't let us offend you too much with our antics. But first, we wanted to start, like we said, we wanted to welcome you guys on and kind of give the fans a chance to get to know you guys before you hit these shows and the shows come out. So I guess start by telling us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your bowling background. And how did you end up here in this position where you're a PBA member of now, and now you've made your first show?
Yeah, so basically, whenever I was younger, my dad was competing at the regional level. So I've always been around bowling, and then he had probably two or three shops all the time whenever I was growing up. So I was always around bowling, and then about age three, I think he got me my first bowling ball. And then I kind of just started bowling, and probably like seventh or eighth grade, I really started to get a little bit more serious about it because I was like, you know, I feel pretty good doing this. I'm having a little bit of success. And so I just did that. And then I bowled in high school, and then I went to college to bowl, and had some success in college, three-time All-American, and then got my card and won three regionals at the regional level, and now we're here on Sweep the Rack.
Where did you yes, absolutely. Where did you bowl in college?
Calumet College of St. Joseph's.
Okay. All right. I've heard of that school before. Wow. Yep. Three-time All-American, Rob. I mean, sounds a little bit familiar to a good homie of the show, no?
Yeah, that's no joke, man. All-American is it's a big honor, especially since I'm an All-American too, Michael. So I can relate to us All-Americans over here on this side of the screen, and on that side of the screen is the not All-American. You know,
it was a political thing in my case.
Oh yeah, political.
It was a political
there
thing.
There you go. Yeah. Political.
All right, so Michael, what degree did you graduate with?
I graduated with business.
Okay, and what do you do now? For a profession in your personal life?
So my dad actually owns bowlerstore.com right here, as you can see. So whenever I'm not bowling, that's what I'm doing. I'm working at Bowler Store, and we have a shop there as well. So, you know, doing website work, computer work, and then I actually do videos, ball videos, and then pro shop.
Okay. Are your ball videos honest?
Yeah. Yeah. I keep them honest.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out myself to verify that. Okay.
Yeah, we say that, Mike, and you got to give him the big Mike. We got to give him the reason is on previous shows, Michael. We always talk about how all the pros are always doing their ball review videos, and every ball is the greatest ball that's been ever thrown. There's 100 strikes thrown, you know, slow motion, different angles, but nobody ever sees a split, and nobody ever says a bad thing about any ball they throw.
So yeah, I keep the misses in there. I keep the misses. In there.
All right, fair enough. Where's your shop? Where's your shop at, Mike? Tell the people.
It's in Versailles, Ohio, which is a small farm town. It's basically 45 minutes north of Dayton. There's a lot of people are familiar with Coldwater, Ohio, because you know that's one of the hardest bowling centers that the PBA goes to. We're about 30 minutes south of that. So, and we're on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter just at Bowler Store. So you guys can check us out with that or Google us as well. So,
okay. You guys should go check them out. Michael, you are guaranteed, if I'm right, 10,000 for making this show. You know, is this the most you've ever won in a bowling event?
No, it's actually not. I bowled it was a Memorial Day Classic up in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, in 2019. and I actually won that event, and that was for 10K as well.
Okay. All right, Rob. So he's got some experience bowling for the Cheddar.
Yeah. Usually the first time you win the 10K, you blow that really quick. So hopefully, do you have any plans for this? I mean, you know, it's tough to ask, Mike, it's tough to ask a professional bowler who's about to make a show if they've already spent the minimum amount of money they're going to make. But do you have any plans? I mean, you have anything like you're thinking about buying, or are you just kind of wait and see?
I'm just going to wait and see. I mean, I know what I would do with the 250, but not the
strip bar. The strip bar. We talked about it last week. How many strippers you with 250K in singles? And you know what? You blow it all. You don't even worry about taxes. That's not until later. Like, so you'll worry about that when that comes around.
True. So, Michael, as I mentioned in the intro, you led for a good portion of this event in the East region. And I was following that region probably more closely than the others, just because I was interested in what Bill O'Neill was doing out there. So I saw your name, I saw you leading. Really didn't have any familiarity with you at all. So I was obviously kind of impressed by seeing your name up there in quite a large field, the largest field there was. And as Rob and I discussed the previous week, one of the tougher fields. So tell people, man, how did you pull this off, bro?
I've just been working really hard the last couple months. I've been really focusing on my mental game, physical game, and just trying to keep my mind calm. And in the past, I would always, if something didn't go my way, I would kind of get upset about it. And, that would affect my next couple shots. So this week, I just went in there with a mind that I was like, I'm just going to stay calm, and if I make a bad shot, I'm just going to reset and go up there and make a good shot, make my spare and move on to the next frame, and not really, get too tripped up on what happened, and just go up there and make the best shot possible and keep a clear mind.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, listen, Rob, how many bowlers do we have on where you hear the same thing, right? That it's more mental than it is physical a lot of times, right?
Yeah, I mean, remember that Pete Weber interview a few months back? How he keeps his mind clear. He gets it in. He gets it in. So,
yeah. I've actually heard that before.
So, Michael, not to put you on the spot here, as we mentioned backstage before we brought you on, Bill O'Neill is a good friend of both Rob and I. You have a chance here. You're either going to face Bill or you're going to face Chris Vi. So we're going to put you on the spot, man. Who do you want?
Either of them. I'm ready.
Oh, he wants either. Oh. He wants both at the same time, he said.
I love it. I love it. This is what we're about on Sweep the Rack. And listen, this is the Bowlers podcast, okay? So I promise you they're going to see this. Board material, they're going to see this. I'm just putting it out there, but yeah. I appreciate your grit for sure. What's one thing, Randy Peterson, friend of the show, right, Rob? Another guy that we've had on, probably tuning in. Randy, what's up? Say what's good.
Randy, how you doing?
what's one thing that Randy Peterson should know about you that he could use on the show, Michael?
Well, it's funny because I actually just talked to Randy earlier today, so I already told him about myself. But I would say a random fact that is not really related to bowling. I'm pretty decent at ping pong, so I guess that could be just a random fact out there.
Okay. I like it. What about action. Beer pong? Is that transition?
No, wait.
I'm good at beer pong too.
Okay. Action ping pong?
Action ping pong. I'll play action ping pong.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
In beer pong.
Michael, are we going to see you more? You've had this taste of success. You're going to bowl on your first show. Can we expect to see you more regularly out of tour events going forward?
Yeah. So this is actually my third year out competing on the tour. The first couple of years, it was just a big learning experience. And so now, I mean, I'm hungry for it. So I would have to say yeah.
Okay. All right. Very good. Mike, we're going to let you go here. Get your sponsors, man. Who's supporting you? Give them a shout. Let the people know who has your back out there.
Yep. So I just want to thank Brunswick, BowlerStore.com, Turbo Grips, and Genesis. Those are my sponsors, and you know, best people in bowling. So I can't thank them enough for their support.
Okay, very good, Rob. This young man seems hungry, dog. I'm excited to see him on his first show. Michael, we wish you luck. Thank you for the time. Thanks for coming on. And, you know, listen, when you win that first title, just remember who the first bowling podcast was. I want to reach out. All right. Because we will be in touch again. So remember who was showing love early and often. Good for luck. Sure, safe travels. Sure. And again, congratulations from both of us, man, and from everybody here.
Yep. Absolutely. Thank you guys. And thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it, Michael.
All right, Rob. Great, this is everything, right? This is everything.
He said, "I want Villa or O'Neill. I want it now.
Either one. I'm ready.
He said, I'll take both of them at the same time, give me 150 blind." He said, "Even too. You didn't miss that part.
I don't think he said that. Just to be clear, I don't think
that's what I would have said. I'd have been like, "Give me both, and I'll take a blind at 150."
I'm not going to lie, Rob. There's probably going to be a text to Bill after this show to let him know, you should at least watch like the first 20 minutes of our show from tonight. So I'm going to let him know. All right, Rob, we're going to bring on another guy who had a big weekend, huge weekend, stuck his flag in the ground and announced to the bowling world that he's here. And again, he's going to appear on his first show. And Rob, if I'm right, I'm not 100% sure that I'm right, but if I'm right, that show is going to be the first one to air. And I think it's going to be live this weekend, if I'm correct. Maybe he knows.
Live show.
We'll bring him on. I apologize. I'm gonna butcher. I forgot to ask him before we brought him on how to pronounce his last name.
My last name's
Weinert, so I'm used to it. But I'm gonna take my best shot because I'm a teacher, so I have some skill at this. I'm gonna say Chris Kolitau.
No, not quite. It's Kelso.
Kelso. All right.
Yeah, Mike, you're a terrible teacher, Mike.
Man, I was way off on that one.
Even Big Mike's a bad name everywhere. Yeah.
To be fair, whatever Blanchard said in roll call, it was so bad I didn't even realize it was me.
Oh, that's great. And that's his first experience as West Region Director. He steps up first tournament and he looks at the roster and he has a name that he butchers. That's awesome. Okay. So, Chris, welcome. You know, as we said to Michael, you know, you were backstage listening to our interview. Welcome to Sweep the Rack. Been quite a weekend and a week for you, but I mean, you know, to really get the stamp in the bowling world and come on Sweep the Rack has got to be like the cherry on top. So we all know that. So welcome. We appreciate the time. We appreciate you joining us. Mike or Chris, am I right that your show is going to be the first show to air and it's going to be live?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, okay. All right. So, you know, do you feel like that puts you in an advantage or a disadvantage a little bit? Would you rather bowl on a tape show or a live show?
It doesn't really matter to me. I mean, if I can get through the Sweep the Rack podcast, I think the TV show shouldn't be a big deal.
Yo,
we got to talk about what's on his fridge, though. That's more important. What do you got? What do you got? Some coupons or like what's going on?
I have no idea. Could even tell
you. Rob, you better be careful. He might start asking you what's in your background, son.
No, I got an unmade bed. I got some boxes. I'm a mess back here, man.
Oh my goodness! All right, so, Chris, give us your background in bowling, man. How did you end up at this point?
I've grown up in bowling my whole life. Started out, my parents would go bowl league on Tuesday nights and get there a little early. The owner of the center would let me go down to an end lane and throw some balls for 10 minutes or so before and after league. Got into juniors when I was 5 or 6 years old, and I've actually started working in a bowling center when I was about 12, just washing dishes during tournaments, just helping out, stuff like that. And I've just grown up into bowling. I've been there my whole life. Get off school, go bowl for a couple hours, work for a couple hours, come home, do my homework, and same thing next day.
Okay, and how did that lead you to becoming a PBA member?
So we had my dad had a good friend that got his card and started bowling some regionals, and I bowled my first regional when I was 16 years old, had a local center hosting a regional. My dad just looks at me and said, "Do you want to bowl?" I said, "Sure, why not? I mean, if you're going to pay for me to bowl. Let's give it a shot. And I actually led the tournament. The very first regional I bowled and had a 299 game. So,
wow, that's pretty awesome. Could you imagine, like, you just first time bowling a regional and you're leading it? And were you pissed that you didn't bowl 300?
No, I was plenty nervous. I think I threw at Brooklyn by a mile. So I didn't think too much of qualifying, but I definitely got nervous in match play. I was like, oh, this is actually happening. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
All right. Interesting. So Rob, actually, you know, and we talked about this on, I think, the first time we had him on. But yeah, Bill actually finished second in the first regional that he ever bowled in. And a lot of people thought that, and I'm telling you, this is true, that at that time, a lot of people felt like he threw the title match because he didn't want to lose his status. And if he won, he was going to have to either join or give up the check or something like that, or the title. I forget what the rules were back then. But so, yeah, interesting. You know, you see that from time to time. I think you see it more now than you did back then. But, you know, definitely an interesting start there. So, Chris, do you have a lot of regional experience? Do you still bowl regionals on the regular? Or what's your usual, schedule like as a bowler?
Anything I can drive to PBA wise, I bowl at least five or six regionals a year. My home center that I work at actually hosts one every year under normal circumstances. I've also bowled some national stops that have been close to home, and I have bowled the World Series a couple times, Masters, stuff like that. And I bowled the U.S. Open one time as well. So,
okay. And where are you out of, Chris? I know you were in the West region, but where do you live?
I'm just a little bit west of Denver, Colorado.
Okay. All right. Colorado guy in the house, no doubt. All right. So is 10K the most you would have ever won in a tournament?
Yes, it is.
All right. Any plans for the 10K yet?
I've been looking at a new set of golf clubs for a while, so maybe we'll start there.
Okay. All
nice.
Right.
Nice. That's a what's nice. Your, you get a nice set and still have money left over.
Yeah. What's your handicap?
It's about 10 right now.
Okay.
After the new clubs, it's going to be like a 3, Mike. That's how it works in golf. It's the clubs make the game easier, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure. Just like bowling, right? It's all the bowling balls, right? It's
just like bowling, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So, Chris, man, you know, listen, we just talked to Michael Davidson. He led for a large portion of the tournament. You know, congratulations. I'm not in any way demeaning your accomplishment here, but you got in by 11 pins. It was close, right? So, and Rob, he got in by 11 pins over friend of the show, Sam Rothstein of Sweep the Rack, PJ Haggerty. So shout to PJ, tough one for him. But so Chris, describe to us when you knew you were locked in and how did that feel?
About the seventh or eighth frame, I noticed the crowd behind the pair of lanes we were on, and I had a 3-bagger going into the ninth frame, threw a great one in the ninth and wrapped a 10, I believe, and everyone just started yelling at me, just make your spare, just make your spare, just make your spare. I'm like, well, yeah, okay. I mean, why wouldn't I? So
I'd be shitting my pants trying to make that 10-pin, man. Everyone's like, make the spare. Don't look down. You know what happens, right?
Yeah, I didn't know exactly the number that I needed. And then I got up in the 10th frame, and I was like, I think if you stay clean, you're okay. I think I left a 4-pin, picked that up, and that's when everyone started cheering. I was like, okay. So, and then I started hearing I needed 192. So I was like, keep the fill ball on the lane, and you're okay. So it was for – I didn't really know what was going on, but everyone around me knew what was going on. So they were communicating a little bit, but I just wanted to fill those last couple frames and hope for the best. I knew I didn't need a huge game that last game. I just wanted to get to 2-0 or 2-10 and take my chances. It was a crazy feeling with everyone crowded behind me like that. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'll bet to lock up your first show. That's awesome. That's gotta be an amazing feeling. Here's not such an amazing feeling. Rob, are you ready for what his reward is for making this show? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Darren Tang, Jacob Buttriff, if he wins, Wesley Lowe, if he wins, Anthony Simonson if he wins.
A lot of urethane in his future.
I think so, right? And, you know, a murderer's row of urethane, too. So, Chris, you know, listen, we love to talk shit around here on Sweep the Rack, so feel free. Can you do this, man? Can you pull this off? Or, you know, is this too much of a mountain to climb?
I think I can handle it. I've bowled with or against a lot of these guys numerous times before. I actually beat Wesley in the title match in Shawnee to win the Southwest Invitational about a month ago. I've bowled Buttriff numerous times. I bowled Darren down at the New Mexico Open a couple times. So I'm pretty familiar with everybody. As long as I can go up there and throw my shots, I think I'll be all right.
Okay. All right, good. I have a feeling the people of Sweep the Rack are going to be behind you on this show, live show. So I love it. I'm excited for it, Rob. If you wanna live watch this show, Rob, I'm just going to tell you I'm in. Even though it's probably on during the NFC football championship games, I'm in. If you want to do it, I'm in. We get behind Chris and we go and we rock and we see what's good. Chris, are we gonna see more of you on tour after this taste of success here?
Maybe not this year. I didn't sign up for the Masters or anything like that with the waiting list and stuff. But in the near future, I think I'm gonna give it a shot and try to bowl a few more stops for sure.
Okay. Yeah, Rob, I would think that, you know, having a finish like this in an event of this nature, and, you know, these guys, they still have a shot at the 250,000, right? So, like, depending on how things go for them, Rob, this could be a major step, no?
Yeah, it's just, you know, just can't really focus on the 250K right now. That's the hard part of it, right? Because if that's me, I'm already spending the 250K. That's probably the reason why I'm not getting interviewed right now. I'm doing the interview. You know, it's tough because you just want to focus on your process and not your result. So, and that's really what it comes down to, like your five steps, that's what you focus on, and that's, or four steps, however you do your delivery. But yeah, man, you're a popular man in this chat right now. Everybody loves Chris.
Yo, the people are showing out, Rob. And listen, people, help us spread the word about Sweep the Rack, man. You know, tell everybody what's up. We're here. We are the Bowlers Podcast Show. Where else are you gonna see these guys who are gonna be bowling on their first show welcomed on, and, you know, given the opportunity to introduce themselves to the fans? That's what we're here for, Rob. This is why we do this. Chris, same question that I asked Michael. Randy Peterson, Randy, what's up? Friend of the show, always. Give us one thing Randy should know about you that he can use on the show for Sunday.
I think what he needs to know is I believe I can keep up with Belmonte's rev rate, and I only need one hand.
Whoa. Somebody tag Belmo, yo. Somebody tag Belmo. Yo, there's all kinds of shit talking going on tonight. I love it. Shit is deep.
I can't wait, dude. If he makes that kind of comment, I haven't seen Chris bowl yet. I am very excited to see Chris throw the ball, if that's the case, because, you know, Chris, I've been known to state this. Chicks love the rev rate, bro. They love the rev rate. So after this show, you are going to be swimming in women. You know, if you're single, hopefully you're single, because your women rate is about to go right through the roof, bro. So.
Oh, man.
Okay. We'll end here. We'll get you out on this one, Chris. You know, who are your sponsors? Who's supporting you? Who do you want to give a shout to?
Hammer, obviously. I've been with them for 6 or 7 years now. Vice helps me out, takes care of me as well. And just all the local people here in Colorado that help me out, all the pro shops, if I need a place to drill a ball, stuff like that. Appreciate everyone taking care of me.
Yo, go back to work, man. Chris, you should...
I know. I worked yesterday. I came back for one day. I don't know what they want from me.
Yeah, yo, he bowls late tonight. He bowls late tonight, Rob. Actually, there was a little bit of a conflict, and I had to clarify that it was Eastern time, or otherwise we weren't going to be able to get him. He's going to bowl league in a little bit here, I think. So, okay. All right. Word up.
Big shout out to you, Chris, man.
Yeah,
big shout
you know, out, Rob, up, it's interesting. Like, I didn't get to see Chris bowl much either.
Great coverage.
Even though I watched about 80 hours of bowling this weekend, but we'll get to that later. We're not going to get into that.
We are getting to that.
We'll get into that later. But Chris, listen, man, hell of an interview. We had a lot of fun with you. I'll be rooting for you on Sunday. Good luck. Have a great run. You know, it's yeah, obviously, like we talked about, it's a gauntlet, but you know, your confidence sounds high. Congratulations on making the show, and yeah, we'll definitely be looking for you going forward from here, man.
Thanks, guys. I had a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, yeah, no Chris. Doubt. Good luck, man.
Good luck, man. All right, Rob. So, man, Rob, I love it. I love it. Okay. All right. Oh man. Wait a second. Is that Billy Sell from Michigan State? Billy Sell?
I believe it is. Hell yeah.
I gotta take a minute here. Sorry. Hold on.
Okay.
I gotta tell. So. There was a college bowling show on ESPN. It was like the championship show. It was probably like when I was a junior in high school, I guess, maybe a senior in high school that I saw. And it was Michigan State against Wichita State, I think, were the two teams. And it was on ESPN, and I remember turning it on and catching it. And he was one of the bowlers that was bowling for Michigan State, I believe, at the time. And they lost to Wichita State, but it was like just such a great atmosphere and such great bowling that seeing that show really solidified for me that I wanted to bowl in college. So, yeah, shout out to Billy Sell. And I remember going to Junior Gold that summer, and he was there. And I was like, oh, shit, that's the kid that was on TV bowling for Michigan State. But yeah, no doubt. So that show is a really good show. I'm sure it's on YouTube or something. It's got to be out there. Where's our guy Jimmy? Jimmy, pull that up for us, will you?
So Mike, real quick before we bring Christian on.
Yeah, we're moving on. We're moving on here, Rob.
Michigan State was my number one choice to go to college. If I would have got accepted to Michigan State, I would have ended up bowling with Bill Sell and Josh Keller. And I just
Josh Keller. He threw it good. I remember that.
I didn't have the grades. And I was out of state too, so it was tough for me to get in.
Michigan State,
Michigan
State would have been a safety school for me,
dude. Shut up, dude. Come on, man. Anyway, so yeah, I could have been easily to Michigan State, dude. I would have partied so much more in Michigan State than Saginaw. Anyway, that's a whole nother podcast we could talk about.
Okay, all right.
We gotta talk to my man Christian.
If you want
to
come on, hit us up. Sweep the Rack at Gmail. Yeah. If you want to come on and talk to College Bowling, hit us up, man.
We gotta talk to my man Christian because I think we kind of. Me personally, we kind of lit a little bit of a fire under his ass when we put out those rankings last week. And, I want to talk to him a little bit about it.
It's no disrespect.
No, I want to talk to him because I know he was throwing strikes all weekend at the players going, yeah, fuck Sweep the Rack. I'm about to put it in their ass.
All right, let's go. Bring him on.
We got to bring him on. Christian, man, how's it going?
Hi, guys. What's up?
Welcome.
Dude, first it's going, man. First off, it's going good. I was just laughing at what you said right now.
Great bowling, by the way. I gotta tell you, man, like a little bit, like I was going through I didn't go through the whole rosters. I was going through literally the names and just pulling out people that I kind of knew from just probably from back in the day. And honestly, like, I know you have a lot of like, you're great out of where my brothers are in Florida, but I don't really have too familiarity with you. Right. Like personally. So I didn't really know like your name that well. And that's the reason why I didn't put you on there. But I'm like, man, like I watched him in the top five after he commented on our post, Mike, and said, yo, great honorable mention list or something like that. And I was like, oh man, I completely dropped the ball on that.
I'm not gonna reveal names, but I'm gonna say there are times where players reach out to us and say, yo, like, I heard your comment about this, or I heard it happened to me a few weeks ago where I made a comment on this show and I looked at my phone after the show was done and, you know, my DMs were blowing up a little bit. But listen, that, you know, this is what we do, right, Rob? We made the decision when we do this podcast, you know, we're going to come at, and we're wrong. We're wrong a lot of times, but we're
wrong all the time.
Yeah. We're going to put it out there, the best that we can, the way we see it. So, Christian, welcome to Sweep the Rack, man. As Rob said, great bowling this weekend. You know, a little bit of a different interview here for you, because the guys that we talked to before, this is going to be their first show, period. And I know this is going to be your first quote unquote show, but let's put it out for the people here. Like, you're a PBA titleist. You have one title at the Extra Frame Wilmington Open, and gives you a little bit of an advantage, I would think. No, you're not a straight, fresh guy coming into your first show with no experience here. Do you agree?
In a way, I agree. I actually have two extra frame appearances. One of my first one, I finished fourth. And then my second one, I was lucky enough to win in Wilmington. I think all experience is good experience, you know? I mean, but you never know until you're on TV. You're never really going to know until you're there. And I think it's going to help the fact that, you know, because of COVID, we're probably not going to have a big crowd there or anything like that. So that's probably going to help. But I guess we just got to wait and see what happens.
Mike, that's a good point, Mike. Talking about like first timers on the shows, you got to feel like if there's no crowd there, it takes the tension off a little bit, like not having all these people sitting there in the stands, like watching your every move. So, I mean, it'd be a lot different if this thing was live, Mike, and it was packed house. A lot different bowling your first time on TV, I would imagine. No.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. So Christian, give us again, you know, like we got from the other guys here tonight, give our viewers here, our listeners here, a little bit of your background in bowling and how you got to this point.
I'm originally from Puerto Rico, born and raised. I lived there till I was 17. I've been bowling since I'm 3, so pretty much my whole life. I moved to the States to go to college for bowling. I went to Lindenwood University. I won a national title with them. Actually, Kyle Sherman was my teammate back then. And as soon as I graduated college, I got offered a job at Kegel in Florida, so I moved down. And, I mean, I don't work for them anymore, but, I mean, ever since then, I just stayed down here, and here we are.
Okay, and what did you do at Kegel when you were working there?
I was, for a period of time, I was a batch tester, which essentially means that the oil that the conditioners we would make to send out to bowling alleys all across the world, a sample would get put on the lanes to get tested to make sure that it was made properly. So I would test the oil before it was shipped out overseas or, you know, to the other states or whatever.
Okay. All right.
That's cool, a lot of bowling. That's, I mean, I'm just thinking about that. Like I work in front of a computer all day and you're testing oil out all day. I mean, that's a lot of bowling. I mean, that's good and bad. You're probably leaving there. Yeah, you're leaving there at like 5, 6 p.m. going, man, I don't want to throw a bowling ball for another week. And then next thing you know, you got to go in the next day and test it out for 8 or 9 hours again. You get really good.
That's actually part of the reason why I have to stop. it fried me. I mentally could not handle how much bowling it involved. And that's honest. It's honest to God truth. Kegel is an amazing company to work for. They treated me unbelievably. I couldn't do it. I bowling 5 hours a day, 6 hours a day, every day. And then on top of that, you're trying to make money on the weekends, bowling on the weekends. It's impossible. You don't want to bowl when you get to the weekend. Like, it's just not doable.
I the last thing I want to be on the weekends is in front of a computer. So I could understand that. Like, really.
Yeah. I felt that way a lot when I was coaching. Like, I was putting so much time into the coaching thing, and I was in the bowling alley from 3:30 until 7 o'clock, 5 days a week. And when the weekends came around or when I got home, the last thing I wanted to do was go drive to Lig and be in the bowling alley for another 3 hours. Like, I just didn't want to do it. And I could totally understand that perspective. Yep. So what are you doing now, Christian?
So right now I'm working full time with Bowlify. trying to, you know, trying to increase the brand, trying to help them out. Of course, I bowl for a living. Like, that's my main source of income. I bowl every weekend, everything I can find. I travel to bowl. I bowl on tour whenever I can. And yeah, I mean, between Bowlify and bowling, that pretty much takes all my time.
Rob, this is fate shining on us, Rob. We just discussed Sweep the Rack bowling shirts, and our guest tonight is affiliated with Bowlify, who does bowling. So we're gonna reach out off the air. We need some dope Sweep the Rack jerseys. So Rob will shoot you an email. You know, whatever the cost is, whatever. Rob's cheap, so make sure you include me on the email about the shirts, because I'll make sure we spring for the extra few bucks. But
saving
for my PS5. Yeah, we can figure some out.
All right, cool. We'll figure that out for sure. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that 10,000 is not gonna be the most you've won in a bowling event.
No.
Okay. was the extra frame title worth 20?
No, the extra frame title was worth 10.
Okay.
But that tournament had a 300 pot that was, I mean, which it's literally the only time I've seen it happen, but it did. It had a 300 pot worth like 1500, I believe, and I hit it. I mean, and then you add incentives or, you know, all the other stuff, and it's more, but yeah.
Okay. All right, cool. You are the 2 seed on your show. So there's a couple different scenarios that could play out, but you're either going to bowl Dick Allen, Tom Daugherty, or Ryan Simonelli. Who you got? Who you want out of those three?
Who do I want?
Yeah, he's gonna come on. Daugherty. We love talking. Shit about part of that. We love talking. well, right, you don't want to see Simonelli,
you,
I would assume, right?
That I can tell you that I would probably prefer someone on my side of the lane, for sure.
Okay. All right.
I was going to say, he probably wants Daugherty. He probably clashes with Daugherty all the time where he lives bowling. I'd imagine all the regionals and tournaments, right?
I bowl around Daugherty and Dick Allen all the time. I mean,
oh, yeah, Dick Allen's down there
more,
too.
Daugherty more so than Dick, because Daugherty lives an hour from where I live, so I see him more often, but even then he really doesn't bowl that many local events. So I mean, it's no different for me. Like, if I had any preference, it would just be someone on my side of the lane.
Sure.
I don't think anything else really, like, yeah.
Okay. All right, so what is, we asked the other guys, we're going to ask you the same thing. What's one thing that Randy Peterson should know about you going into this show that he can, you know, friend of the show, Randy, what's up? He's probably watching, that he can put out there to the people, and a little interesting tidbit about you. What can you hit us with?
I don't know. I mean, Randy knows me a little bit, not that much, but he actually was, I was lucky enough that he was there to work both extra frame stops that I made the show in. So I have some interaction with him. He's always like awesome to me. I don't know. Probably, I mean, I'm already expecting some like really funny comment or something along the lines of being like, you know, something Latino, like heat something sensation. I can see Randy doing that. I can see him.
Okay. We'll look out for that. Yeah, we'll look out for that. I'll get a good laugh if he says make some kind of joke.
True. Very true. Christian, so after, you know, obviously, you know, you still have a long way to go in this tournament, right? There could possibly be another step ladder you're going to be involved in here. After this event is over and things have settled down a little bit for you, you know, you have the success, should we expect to see more of you regularly out on tour events this year anyway in the immediate future?
Well, I can tell you for a fact that I am bowling everything that's being hosted in Florida. I already signed up yesterday for the Tournament of Champions. I mean, I bowl that every year anyways, since I'm eligible. That normally is a really good event for me. I think it's the most prestigious event there is. I just love the event in general. I'll always bowl it. And now being in Florida, it's like a no-brainer. I'm bowling the World Series, which is going to be at the same center that we just bowled the players this last weekend.
Oh, so look at that.
I'm excited for that.
You see the look on his face?
Yeah. I like the smile on his face.
And the Marshall Holman doubles is together with the World Series. So I'm at least bowling all those. I don't have a spot for the Masters. I actually did have one. And when they moved it to Reno, unfortunately, I got rid of it. But
I don't blame you. Nobody wants to go to Reno. Don't worry. I would have to.
it's just the at the time, I don't even know why it changed, but at the time I checked the flights and flights were really expensive to go to Reno, but not to Vegas. And of course I dropped my spot and like two months later, now the flights for Reno are like $300, which they were more than double that when I checked originally, but it is what it is. I mean, everything happens for a reason, but I'm at least for sure bowling everything in Florida. And hopefully once, if PBA decides to announce more stuff for the rest of the season, I'll make sure to bowl as much as I can.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Christian, we'll get you out of here, man. Who are the sponsors that are supporting you out there? Who are the people you want to give a shout out to that have your back?
I mean, mainly Ebonite. I've been with them for a while now. Wow, like probably 6-7 years now. And it's funny, before that I was with Brunswick, so now I guess it all works out. So Ebonite, Vice, Bullify, like, thank you guys. I mean, you guys really do so much for me. You help me out day in, day out. So yeah, I mean, those are the peeps. Those are the guys.
Okay, Christian, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it having you on Sweep the Rack. Definitely make plans to come back sometime soon. Good luck in the event. Good luck on the show. Safe travels as you complete the schedule this year. And, definitely check back in with us, man.
Yeah, man, we appreciate it. Good luck.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you for everything. And it's okay, man. Maybe next time I'll make an honorable mention.
I knew he was going to say it. I knew he was taking that jab. All right. Man, I'm happy for you, Christian, man. Good luck, dude. Bowl good.
Thank you, guys. See ya.
See ya.
No doubt.
Yo, I knew he was going to get a shot. I knew it. But you know what? He deserves it. Because if that was me, I would have came in here on fire. I'd have been like, screw you guys. You keep me off that list. Now look at me. Look at me now. Look at me now. That's what I you know, sure. That's kind of how I would be, but
come in with like the background music playing, like, you can hate me now.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at me, but catch me outside. Down. How about that? Catch me outside.
Yeah, no, I feel you. I feel you. Yo, with some Osmond in the background killing it. But Rob, you know, thoughts?
I mean, dude, I see myself in that position, like, you know, because it's just it. These guys, look at these guys, man. They're like, had all like the same kind of road like I had when I was younger, and they just, you know, bowled really good one weekend. And I'm not taking anything away from them, right? They're great bowlers. But dude, you if you get hot and start throwing the ball good and you got a good look in that bowling center, you know, 28 games later, man, you're on a show for a major. I mean, a two show for a major, I guess I gotta call it, but technically it is a show for a major. So exciting, man. It's really exciting to see and talk to these kids and talk to them and see how much energy they have coming into their first show and how exciting it was, because that's like a dream. If you're a bowler, that's a dream to make a show in the bowl in front of your family, friends, and get some, you know, get some fame out of it a little bit too. And, you know, get some bowling groupies, you know, 'cause that's always important. You know,
so it honestly, it makes me like kind of want for the old PBA tour. And here's what I mean by that. Like a tour that traveled around and stopped in various different cities throughout the country and bowled in various different bowling centers with various different looks throughout the tour schedule. And Rob, you would always get like, you know, those appearances by guys who, just like you said, would make, you know, have a great week, have a great look, make a run, make a show. Maybe it was a major, maybe it wasn't, but they would make a show, and maybe it was the only show they ever made, right? But it would be like a new name and a new face with a local background or story that people wanted to hear. And I miss that. I kind of miss that about the PBA tour. I don't really feel like I don't feel like the tour has that anymore at all.
I
have to say, like, that's one of the things that I've actually like about how this turned out with the Players' Championship and what the PBA decided to do, is that for the Players' Championship, we're going to get to see some new unknown players, you know, on the shows.
Mike, remember those shows back in the day when they'd have like a journeyman would come in, right? And you're like, who's the journeyman? Who is this guy, right? And it'd be like John the Buzzsaw Gant, and he'd be revving the piss shit out of it. Or it'd be like Rudy Revs, right? Come out of nowhere and make
Butch Schoper. Right? Butch Schoper was like another guy. Here's a name for the people out. This shows what a bowling nerd I am. A guy like C.K. Moore.
The lefty
comes on, he throws the Omega, Ebonite Omega, shoots 300, he wins the title, and I swear to God, you never heard from the guy again.
Dude, that's why the Masters is so cool, like Jason Queen, right? Remember when he won?
Brian Bogosian.
Let's be honest,
the Masters is known for that, right? Like, that's the identity of the Masters, right? But I don't know. I liked – and listen, I know it's easier to market the guys when they're on the show, and I'm not saying that the PBA shouldn't do what's best for the PBA. Like, I think it's better to have the same guys on the show for them, right? Wow, C.K. Moore is the head coach of a college bowling team? Get out of here. That's wild. What college bowling team?
Dude, I can't
– meeting C.K. Moore on the show.
We need more of C.K. Moore. Let's go.
Oh, my God. Miss Eckhoff, can you please get us in touch with him? sweeptherack@gmail.com.
Ryan Davis.
Get us an email. Get us something. I need CK Moore on this show. Stat. I've been trying to get Ricky Ward on this show. Can't get him. I've been trying to get Ricky Ward. I'm all about.
Yeah, but Ricky Ward's not a journeyman. I mean, we need.
No, he's not.
Yeah, it's in Nebraska.
Okay.
This is not. I like it, Emily. Good info there. That was. I mean, but yeah, this is what's exciting about.
I just impressed a girl with my bowling knowledge, Rob. I think that.
Speaking of
the record books, right there. Usually it's my wonderful wit or charm or handsome looks, but this time it happened to be my bowling talk.
Dude, speaking of the women, not to change subject here, but PWBA started today, I don't really know how big it is because I think I saw 18 entries in A squad. But it's good to see the women bowling, Mike. You know, all the stuff going on, you know, it's just a tough situation. And, you know, the ladies need their earning, you know, they need their livings and they work hard. And by the way, I saw some of the highlight videos on some of the women. Mike, these girls, these women, these ladies throw the ball. Unbelievable. Like, I seen some girl, like some women that are just, dude, they are acing shots. Like, I'm just like, holy crap, how good are these women? 36 bowlers. I mean, look, like, tough. They're making them live in a bubble, I think. That's tough. A bowling women bubble.
Sounds like a place you should be, Rob.
Sounds like a place I would want to be.
You probably still couldn't get a date in the bowling women's bubble.
I probably couldn't get a number in the bowling room, but you know what, Mike? I would definitely enjoy watching them bowl because they are unbelievable competitors.
I've always said that watching the ladies is good because you can often learn more from watching them than you can from watching the guys.
30, 36 for 32 checks, Tony. That's what Tony just wrote across for anybody listening to audio right now or going to be listening. I feel bad for the four people who don't check. We need to get those people on the show, Mike. You know, so how did you feel finishing in the bottom four and not making a check? Bad week, you know, but.
All right, Rob, listen, we got to tell the people we're going into overtime tonight. There's no question.
We're going into overtime. Here.
So if you've joined us for a while, go get a snack, go get a drink, take a pee break, come back because we're going to be here for a minute. We have a lot more to talk about. You want to keep it moving here, Rob, or what?
Yeah, let's keep it moving. Let's go over the show and just go through the step ladder and who made it from what.
All right, so let's go over the results of the Players Championship Regional qualifying rounds over the weekend. Rob, do you want to give the rundown first, or do you kind of want to give general impressions of the results first?
I mean, you can go through just the results, like who finished, and then we could kind of just review the shows a little bit.
Okay. So in the West region. All right.
Hold on, wait a sec. I just got a text message from Jason Couch. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Christian did not tell you he is out drinking with me. Dude, Christian was out drinking with Jason Couch when we was in. That's not the greatest thing ever. Anyway, I just thought that
would have been awesome if like Jason Couch like popped into the picture all of a sudden, right?
With a beer, like, hey guys, what's up, man? You know? We gotta get Jason we got to get him back on, but we got to bring him on. I got to get Waka with him. I got to get both of them to come on. Like the all story's right, so out of that.
In the West region, okay? In the West region. Okay. And I'm just going to go in the order of the seeds, 1 through 5. You have Anthony Simonson, Wesley Lowe, Jacob Buttriff, Darren Tang, and our guest tonight, Chris. So, Rob, that was the strongest show. That was the strongest top five, I thought. You might disagree, but that one definitely stuck out to me. In the Central region, okay, you have Tom Smallwood, Andrew Anderson, Ronnie Russell, Wes Malott, Zach Weedman. All right, we're working on Zach Weedman for next week, trying to get him on for next week. He's one of the guys making his first show appearance. In the Southwest regional, you had Francois Laveau, Packy Hanrahan, Kevin Williams, Benjamin Martinez. We have him booked for next week as well, too, and A.J. Chapman. In the East region, Rob, you had Kyle Troop, Brandon Novak, Michael Davidson, Chris Vi, and Bill O'Neill. And finally, in the South region, you had Jesper, Christian Azcona, Ryan Simonelli, Tom Daugherty, and Dick Allen.
Okay, so first impressions of the shows and the patterns. Kudos to the PBA for putting out what looked to be a really fair and challenging pattern on both sides of the lane. I feel like maybe one of the regions maybe was a little bit lefty friendly, but I'm okay with one lefty making a show. I feel like that's really where the ratio is anyway. It's probably like a 1-to-8 ratio from like lefty to righty. So I'm okay with one lefty making a show. I feel like the patterns were tough. They were tough from what I spoke with my brother, who's in the chat, who bowled, to a bunch of other people who bowled, including Bill, and watching a lot of you watched a lot. I watched a lot too this weekend. And I feel like it was a kudos to the PBA for putting out a fair, challenging shot and not making it a strike fest or not making it like a US Open type brutal either. Also to follow up on that, I feel like a lot of the urethane that got played this weekend was a result of how tough the lanes got. And it seemed like every region, it looked the same thing was happening, is that the front started to hook and the back started to get really tight. And the people had to start moving, the righties had to start moving in and start kind of just trying to get it through the front part of the lane. And that was key. But they were tough and urethane and a lot of two-handers and a lot of urethanes and makes for a mess in a 28 games, but honestly, they did a good job making it fair and challenging.
I believe they are using the 40-foot Earl Anthony pattern. I think so.
Yeah, I mean, they were brutal, Jeff. Like, and you could just, I mean, you bowled it, so you know, but yeah. Oh, don't worry, Keith. I'm going to talk a little bit about what happened in the 10th frame there in my next segment. I'm getting all fired up to go into some of that coverage. But anyway, so that was my thoughts, Mike.
My general thoughts, like one of the things I wanted to discuss about the results was how many, and I don't even know the right term to use because I don't want to be disrespectful to these guys, but how many of the less known players made it, right? So out of those names, you know, you hear a lot of names that you haven't heard before. And I thought that was kind of surprising, Rob. You would venture to say that over a 28-game tournament, I think most of us believe anyway, and whether this is reality or it's not, I don't know. We'd have to play it out over the course of time with statistics and whatnot. But I think most of us believe that the better players are going to make it, right? Like the better player, the names you recognize, the guys that are there all the time, they're going to make it. Now, whether that's true or not, or whether that plays out in various different instances, we don't really know. But the results definitely went against my own expectations and what I feel is like the general expectation that I'm talking about here that I just mentioned in terms of seeing some unfamiliar names who made it through this 28 game gauntlet. Now, I thought about to myself, like, why was that? Right? What are the possible reasons that we saw that result occur, right? And which again kind of goes against the stereotypical expectation of the bigger names are gonna make it, right? And the more well known names, the more accomplished guys are gonna make it, right? So yeah, I thought I don't know. This is what I thought about after this event. This is what I thought about the last few days. So well, Rob, what do you think? Go ahead. Let me hear your opinion.
And this is Keith Papadi. He writes, "This format turned out great to allow lesser known players make the shows. I love seeing new people in the finals."
Look, yeah, we just said that. Here it is. Keith, it reminds me of the old PBA, right? It's what I just said.
Right,
but I just said a few minutes ago, like, it reminds me of the old PBA where you would see random guys pop up who had a good week and, like Rob said, had a great 28 games, and the next thing they know, they're on the show. And you don't see that too much anymore, and I enjoy that too. I like that aspect. But go ahead, Rob.
The reason why we're seeing a lot of the same players on the shows these days is because – the league is restricted, right? So they only have their certain amount of players. So think about all the shows, the league, and then you have a lot of the made-for-TV events that's been happening. So you see a lot of that. But if you open up a lot of the field, which is what this was, they opened up the field to anybody who had a pro card, and it was anybody in the regions. And these regions didn't fill up quick, so anybody really could bowl if you had a pro card. You make a long enough format with enough patterns, and guess what? It just shows you that there's a lot of great bowlers out there that aren't on tour. Honestly, like, there's a lot of guys out there that can bowl with the big boys, but once they're given their opportunity, they seized it. Now, that's a whole nother bowl game. Was that a reason why an EJ Tackett or a Belmonte didn't make it, or a, you know, Dom Barrett, is because there's no bowl reps? I don't think so. That's not, in my opinion, the reason why. But I really feel like there's a lot of great bowlers out there that prove, like, that can play, and they just given the opportunity. Look, Wesley Lowe, we had on the show. He's a kid that we know is going to be eventually starting to make shows. This could be his breakout tournament, and I really believe it is. You know, all it takes is one show, one confidence booster for someone like a Wesley Lowe, an AJ Chapman. Right, these are kids that have been knocking on the door for so long.
Yeah, I don't include any of those names in the lesser.
No, I mean, you're talking about unknown, right? Brandon Novak, right? Who I talked about last week,
right?
Who I know can strike. That kid is a striking machine. If anybody knows him, doesn't surprise me to see him make the show because that kid is a great bowler, you know, and he's been on a couple shows before. So other than that, yeah, I thought it was the format was tough. It was fair.
I want to point out two things here. Like, I agree with Charlie. I agree with Keith, and I'll talk about those two things in a second. But like I said, when I thought about the results, these are kind of the things that came to my mind about why did we see what we see, what we saw. And I reached out to a couple people who competed, you know, to kind of get their thoughts on what I saw, just to make sure that I wasn't you know, too outrageous in what I'm going to say here, or what reasons I'm going to assign. So I'm going to talk about two things, right? Two were already mentioned in the chat by Keith and Charlie, but I'm going to talk about two other things. One thing I think played a factor here, Rob, in not seeing more of the top, quote unquote, top guys make it, is that all of these bowling centers are centers that aren't really familiar to the PBA Tour on a regular basis. Okay, I did my homework on that, and I reached out to players that bowled in every region, and I asked them, you know, where was the center that you bowled in, a center that gets, you know, that has a lot of experience for the regular tour guys, right? Is this a center that the regular tour guys would be going to a lot? And almost without exception, the answer was no, right? So with that said, if you have some of the more local guys, right, lesser known local guys, and they have a lot of experience in those centers, that can play a big factor. You know, the more information you give these better players, the more they're going to do with it. So if they know that a pass plays a certain way, and you know they're moving from one end to the other, and they can make an adjustment off of that and save themselves a 180, then that's a huge swing, right? So that's one thing that I would point out. The second thing that I would point out is that you know, usually when you see a major championship, you're bowling on the same pattern, right? And they're running that pattern over and over again, okay? And as that pattern gets run over and over again, you know, from what I've been told, I've never bowled in a major championship, especially in the later rounds, but from what I've been told, the pattern gets truer as the competition goes on, right? Whatever that may mean. It's a different discussion for a different time. But the pattern gets truer as the tournament goes on. And in this case, Rob, it was four different patterns. So I don't really think like the regular tour players had an advantage in terms of making predictions about how the one pattern that's being run multiple times might play versus four different patterns being run once might play.
Kept them on their toes, right?
And I think if they would have run the same pattern four times, I think you probably would have seen more
Barnes.
Regular tour players make it, right? Make the cut.
Essentially like four sprints, right? Like four sprints instead of one big marathon.
Right. And I think that would have made a difference. And then I would also, you know, this two things, like Charlie said, you couldn't get too far behind and make a big run, right? Because the field wasn't going to give you that much back every game, the guys that were bowling well. And like he said, there was no match play. You know, there was no match play here. And if you had bonus pins and it was match play, again, I think you would have seen more of the quote-unquote regulars make it. So
if you're like a couple hundred pins behind, you have to like literally out-average the field by like 10, 15 pin. Like you have to literally
blow by. You got to bowl your ass off.
And you have to hope that people drop. And
yeah, but there's always going to be someone between you, wherever you are, and fifth that's also pacing you the same or outpacing you and staying ahead of you, right? I think that's what the real struggle becomes, is you got to beat everybody that's above you, all right? And yeah, Keith, I don't think the ball reps were there. Some of the ball reps bowled. Timmy Mack bowled. There was at least one other ball rep that bowled. I know, I forget who it was, but that I was aware of. Okay. Rob, my bets. Let's go over my bets quickly. Okay, because people were talking a bunch of shit on Twitter about my bets, claiming that I wasn't going to win anything, et cetera. So I'm quickly going to go over some bets that I won. All right, I would have won a $500 parlay on O'Neal and Troop making the top five in the East. What do you think that would have been worth, Rob? 500 on that.
500 parlay. You're probably not getting good odds with Troop or Bill. So you're probably going to get back 500. You probably, I mean.
Even money? Am I even money, even though it's
you're probably getting back like 1,200.
Okay. All right. You keep a tally here. Okay. You keep a tally here. I also had for 200 each in the East, I picked three out of five correctly. I had O'Neal for correct, Troop correct, and Chris Vi correct. What do you think I'm looking at there, Rob? How much money do I got back there? Bad odds on Bill and Troop, right? So probably like
300 back.
Right. Okay. But I would have had good odds on Chris Vi, I would imagine.
Yeah, you'd probably get like I'd say like probably two. You'd probably get back maybe like like more than 600, I would say, back for 200.
3-1, 4-1.
Yeah.
But it could be higher than that.
I'd say, like, let's give you 700 for that.
Okay. The West crushed me. The West absolutely. Belmo not making it crushed me. I had two parlay. I had a parlay with him and Simo. I had a parlay with him, Simo, Kent, and Buttriff. And then I had individual bets on Dio Bernard, PJ Haggerty, who just missed, and Michael Haugen. So I won nothing there.
Yeah,
the South region, neither of my parlays hit, but I did win $200 bets on Jesper, Simonelli, and Daugherty.
Okay. Jesper was probably getting back probably 300 for Jesper. Simonelli, you're probably getting back like, I'd say like Simonelli is probably, you got a pretty good odds on that.
He's $200. Retired.
I know. You're probably going to get back like 600 for, probably more than that, like 800 for Simonelli. Okay.
And Daugherty?
Daugherty, I'd probably give you about a little bit less than Simonelli, so probably like 7.
Okay.
For 200, and then
in the Southwest, I would have won a $500 bet on Frankie Lavoie to make it. And then I would have won a $100 bet on AJ Chapman to make it.
And that was it?
That was it.
That was okay, it. Okay, so AJ Chapman, you was a $200 bet?
$100.
$100 bet, you're probably going to get back about 600 for AJ Chapman.
Okay.
And then what was the other one? Daugherty?
No, Lavoie, 500.
Yeah, you're probably getting back like 900. I'd say maybe even money.
Okay.
Not less than that. You're probably getting back like 800. I'm being fair, and I'm just shooting by the hip. So okay. Let's see here. 25, 2,800, 3,600, 3,400, 3,100, 5,100. You're looking at close to around 57 to like $6,000 back. So
all right, hold on. I got one more. I got one more region. I had the Central region. I would have won $200 bets on Wes and Smallwood.
Okay, Wes, you're probably getting back like a little bit like 500. Smallwood's probably like better odds than that, right? Like you're probably getting back, I don't know, like 200. I'd say what you think, like 800, nah, 700 with Smallwood.
Okay. All right.
I'm just kind of shooting the ship.
Where's that put me at?
18, 25, 28, 36, 43. Oh, wait, let me start over. 18, 25, 28, 36, 43, 51, 57, 62. You're estimated around probably $7,000 back. So you can take it.
So I lost about $3,000. Okay. So that's not bad out of 10,000. I mean, and listen, it was a wash of a weekend, right? The results were just a wash. So Robert Hamilton, the odds on Kevin Williams would have been field odds. So you would have been talking like 50-1 for him to make it. So yeah. You know, had I put a $200 bet on Kevin Williams, I could have broken even just on that. But I think Rob mentioned that one actually. Yeah. Rob actually mentioned Kevin Williams, so he probably would have had that. All right, Rob, the time of the show has come that you've been waiting for, Rob.
And yeah, it's too good we waited for the end of it.
That is the time of the show where Rob wants to talk about the coverage from this weekend.
Yeah, okay, so picture this. Picture this situation, everybody. It's the final game of a major, 27 games bowled, right? They're bowling a 28th game. Bill O'Neill, who is the top 5 bowler in the world, maybe top 3 bowler in the world at this point, is 11 pins.
Maybe the best one-handed bowler in the world.
Okay. This is just a situation, right? He's 11 pins behind 5th place in 6th place, okay? You have a guy that is nobody's heard of, that I've never heard of, maybe people in his area, called Tim, I think it was Foy, Tim Foy Jr.
Yeah, good Foy local Jr. bowler, very good local bowler from around this area.
Who's in 5th trying to make his first ever show, okay? Now picture me trying to watch Bill O'Neill and Tim Foy bowl the last game, and instead I'm watching a pair with Kyle Troop, who's already a first place soft. He's just on cruise control. A guy who's bowling for a check, okay, a cashier's check, which they kept saying, oh, this guy's bowling for his first ever check or whatever. And then a guy who's on a 140 game, okay? Oh, and I'm sorry, Davidson, who was already in the show at that point too, so maybe he was kind of worth watching. What are you doing to me, Flow Bowling? Like, and I don't know if this is Flow Bowling's fault or if this is the PBA's fault. Here's my problem. Why do they not? And I was on the Barnsley Beef. I wasn't on the Barnsley Beef show, but I was on the chat today talking to them about this. Why did they not repair the format of the qualifying after 14 games or even after 21 games, right? Group them together. Put the 1, 2, 3, 4th seed on one pair, the 5, 6, 7, 8, and then have it so that when the final games come around, the cameras will be able to cover, you're able to cover three pairs, right, each region. So you're able to at least see the three pairs of the top 12 bowlers or whoever, whatever position they're in at that time. But at least we get to watch, like, the situation that ended up happening, Mike. And what ended up happening, and if nobody knows what happened with Bill, Bill gets up in the 8th, 9th, and 10th and strikes. And then I think he, like, whatever, 9s, spares. Tim Foy Jr. needs to get up to mark to make his first ever show. And he double nuts, dude. He big fours. So Bill makes the show by one pin. I have a Flow Bowling subscription, Mike. Do you know how I found out about this? You text me and said Bill made the show by a pin. Because Mike J. Laneside even said, oh, well, these are the unofficial results, and put Bill on 6th. So made a mistake, didn't even know the results. I shut the computer off because I was angry and said, fuck this, I'm going to go like cook dinner because I've been watching all 7 or 8 games. Mike, here's my rant. I watched 6 to 7 games of the last – do you know how many shots I was able to watch of Bill? I don't think he was on the last 7 games at all.
He wasn't. Rob, I watched almost the whole weekend. I mean, I had my laptop on the whole weekend, and I was, you know, walking by and checking in every few minutes if I wasn't sitting there watching intently. And Rob, I got to tell you, I think I saw him on the feed for one game.
One game. But here's the thing,
but at the same time, I saw Joe Peluzic's pair, like it seemed like 6 times I saw Peluzic hit a Flow Bowling pair. So like.
Here's what upsets me, though.
It's the logistics. I know the logistics have to be a nightmare, right? But I agree that it's got to be figured out better.
My problem is when I asked Beef and Barnsley about this on their show and I chatted them, they were like, well, they made this like – and they didn't repair because, you know, they wanted to make sure the bowlers hit the pairs or the same pairs evenly. Look, this isn't a bowler-friendly – tour. This is a fan-friendly tour. Make it so that it's fan-friendly, so people that pay for Flow Bowling subscriptions want to watch. Because if it wasn't for the fans paying for subscriptions and watching, you guys wouldn't even have a tour, okay? So make it so it's fan-friendly, so someone like me, this is coming from a fan, Mike, who I want to watch Bill O'Neill, who's the second best bowler in the world, make a run for the show. I can do that, and I pay my whatever money yearly subscription. Why am I watching Danny Donkey and Randy Rube, okay, shoot 130s? You know,
when I want to Clyde,
move the cameras, pair them up so that all the guys competing are on the same pairs, so we could watch, right? Have better live score updates. Okay, I'm bouncing back from the PBA website to Flow Bowling to get live
score updates. Yeah, at first they didn't even have the scores on the PBA main page, and then I think they realized it, and they put them up there and made it a little bit easier to access the scores. But even the scores, Rob, like there were no game by game scores. It was all like just a running total. So you couldn't even see like what they bowled one game versus what they bowled another game. I did a lot of dumpster dive watching this weekend too. My favorite thing was like the guys who shot 120 after game one, and I tweeted about it, like had a look on their face of like serious regret that they entered this tournament and had 27 more games to go. But listen, honestly, Rob, I agree with you. You know, I feel like whatever it is, the PBA flow, they got to do a better job and figure it out. Because, well, that's the thing. You know, Rob, even the feeds, like you would go to some of the feeds and there were, you know, there were supposed to be three pairs running. Sometimes you would go there and only be one pair running, right? Just with the, and then with the flow zone. Now, I know, you know, Mike J, like he was doing the commentary and he was in a, you know, a main base with just monitors. And that's got to be tough too, because you don't have any sense of what's going on around the bowling center, right? So, another way to me, they should have had like a quote unquote scout in the bowling center who would have been able to text Mike J, hey, this just happened, or this person who's in the running just shot this. And so we could have got some better updates of what was going on. But to me, it was kind of like watching in a vacuum. You know, you were just watching. You were just watching bowlers throw shots, and there was really no context to what was going on.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm just reading a comment from my brother, and I'm fucking dead. I'm not even going to put it on the fucking screen, but I can't even take a serious face. Look, long story short, this was a learning experience for the PBA, right, and flow bowling, right? Maybe all five regions on one weekend wasn't a good idea. Maybe they should have put three regions on one weekend and two regions on another weekend so that they could, like, actually spend more time with the regions and the coverage and separate them, right? Maybe that's an idea what they could have done. They were overwhelmed. They had to be a better way to have the coverage for, you know, look, I get it. Like, it's tough covering five tournaments, but you guess what? You guys did it to yourselves. You're the ones who scheduled these tournaments on the same weekend. You guys know your capabilities. You're the guys who know Flow Bowling's capabilities. You guys got to get together and figure out if this is something that's going to be a fan-friendly event so if we can watch. And I don't have to miss Bill O'Neill striking out in the 10th frame to have the guy split for him to miss by a pin or make it by a pin. And I got to sit back and not even see any of that go down when I pay a subscription. And this is for a major? Come on, Mike. No, I'm so pissed. I was on fire, like, Mike.
Honestly, like,
show us Sunday we did this.
Belmo in the West region. Like, how do you not? I mean, everybody wants to see Belmo. You got to have a camera on him every game. There should be a camera on his pair every game. Doesn't matter where he's at. Every game. Like, that's who people want. Rob, I agree with you in this sense, right? I agree with you that, like, sometimes at a certain point, you got to draw the line with the bowling bullshit of, oh, everything has to be perfect circumstances and work out even and this and that. And you got to say, all right, well, if we have to make this sacrifice for the better of the fans, then we have to do this. And I agree, like going into that last block, they should have reorganized the groups and you should have been able to watch the top two groups or the second group and the third group. Camera should have been on them the whole time so that you could see it. There should have been scoring updates, et cetera. Like, they dropped the ball, quite frankly.
Brian M. says in our chat, I gave up watching and kept checking the score updates on the PBA. This is a major, Mike. This is for $250,000. Should we have fans like Brian giving up and shutting off?
You know, I'm not name dropping or whatever here, but Bill O'Neill's family was at my house on Sunday while the tournament was finishing up.
Oh, I'm sure they were thrilled to not be able to see anything.
Yeah, like we couldn't even watch. We had to just keep doing the same thing and just checking the updates game by game and seeing how he was doing. So, like, not good. You know, like you said, Rob, not good when you're paying a subscription fee and you're trying to increase that subscribership and there.
Let's call spade a spade. The reason why I pay the Flow subscription is so I could watch Bill. And my brother bowled. I couldn't even see. I couldn't even watch him if I wanted to. Now I'm not saying, look, like if he was in 20th or 25th throughout the whole tournament. I don't expect them to show a lot of coverage on him, right? But Bill was in sixth place with a game left, Mike.
Right.
Come on. I can't. God, and I can't get any answers. I tweet everyone.
Like, how do you? You got to know, like, where those pairs are going to end. If they were doing it the way they were doing it, you got to know, like, not really. You wouldn't because they weren't grouped by that. But
they have a lot of time to prepare for this and get the logistics of it right. Okay, sure. Where the cameras are going to be, where the cross is going to be, where is the final pairing is going to be. It's really simple, Mike. You repair them with seven games left. You put everybody on the same pair based on your position. And then you end up with the final three cameras with the last game are on the final three, right? Or you move the cameras from game to game with the top 12, you know? And that's it. If you're not in the top 12, you're not getting any camera time. Hate to tell you, but guess what? Golf, right? When there's a major, Mike, what do you watch on the last round of the golf tournament? You watch the people that are in the top 10 in standings. They don't show Danny Donkey in 60th place bowling, you know, shooting a 90. That they, you know, they got to take some make some sacrifices. Okay, big deal. You can't watch 15th. I don't care. I want to watch the top 10.
You know, right, even if you turned on qualifying for golf and like they weren't following Tiger or Rory or whoever, right? People would go crazy. People would lose their shit, right?
They still show Tiger. Tiger's in 20th, 5th, 30th place. They'll still show his shots every once in a while because they know that's where their ratings are. Belmo, that's what they have to do. If Belmo's in 16th place, they still need to show his shots. They need to say, okay, Belmo's on a double, whatever, because people want to watch Belmo. That's the guy, I mean, right?
He's like Tom Brady in the sense that, like, even when he bowls bad, like, it's still –
must watch
promotional. It's still promotional, you know. It's wild. It's news that he didn't make it, right? And that's why they should be following him, which says a lot about, you know,
how good he is.
Yeah, his general performance.
That's like when Floyd Mayweather gets punched clean. It's like all over the news. Like, true. The guy's a boxer, he never gets punched, he gets punched. Anyway, Mike, we've been along. I think we're gonna save the worst of the week next week.
No. Okay. We're not skipping worst of the week. Bullshit.
Okay, so let's go.
Bullshit.
I'm done with my rant.
Are you kidding me? We're not skipping worst. We'll make it quick here. All right, Rob's done with his rant. Get your shit together. That's what we're saying. Okay. Don't let this happen again.
Let it happen again. I missed one of the greatest moments of the 2021 by the guy going big four for Bill to make it by a pin, and I fucking didn't see it, and I was watching, Mike, and I was watching.
So was I. It was so frustrating those last few games to not be able to watch the people that were in contention. It was ridiculous.
I know. But anyway, it's so bad.
All right. So do you want to go first, or you want me to go first?
You can go first because I got to pull up. Actually, you know what? I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
The post was by a lady named Amy Liz. You've made worst of the week. Congratulations. If you see Amy, if you see Amy and you know her, give her a thumbs up from Sweep the Rack. You did it. You made it. Congrats. Her post from January 16th was, can you use turtle wax and rubbing alcohol to clean a bowling ball? Now, I'm not going to criticize her on the rubbing alcohol, because guess what? When we were kids, we used to use rubbing alcohol all the time to clean our bowling balls. But my turtle wax, turtle wax, you know, is that like Miyagi where you go wax on? I don't know where these people. So congratulations, Amy. Really, kudos to you. Send us an email. We'll give you your prize of never post anything ever again on the internet. Because that's what should be your prize. So,
all right. If people have been paying attention, you clearly know what direction I'm going in here, and I'm keeping my theme of, because it's the well that never runs dry.
Oh, it's Tim Buck
of my man Tim Buck. Okay,
admin, look out here.
Tim Buck, and worst of the week is the well that never runs dry. All right,
so for the third.
For the third consecutive week, Tim Buck is my worst of the week winner. I want to say again, we want Tim Buck on the show. If anybody knows him or can get in touch with him, we would love to have him on the show. I feel like he should be the official he should be like the official chat bouncer for Sweep the Rack, right? But there's no rules here. There's no rules. So like he would never really have to do anything. He would just try and keep things in line. But really, just it wouldn't matter, right? So here's his post this week. Now, I believe this post was about someone asking, like, if someone takes a house ball and starts using it in league competition, does the ball then become their ball, their personal ball? And does that then mean that the rule about using all the holes in every delivery would apply to their ball? Okay, so for instance, like if a no thumb player took a house ball off the rack, started using it, the house says, "Oh, you can have it. It's now their ball." Do they then have to get the thumb hole plugged on that ball to be able to use it, right? And can I just say, I can't believe there's this much bullshit about the rules in these stupid fucking house leagues and shit. Like, really, people? Like, people in mixed leagues are arguing about rules? But anyway, I'm getting off topic. We're trying
to never rolled a mixed league. They're brutal. They're competitive.
Oh, my God. I never will either.
Man. Okay? They kicked me out of the league.
Tim Buck comes on, okay, and he says the following. Here's his post. I see someone didn't like the answers they were getting, so I will add my last comment here. Quote, to use the ball in a tournament is disqualification and still grounds for suspension from USBC. When a center gives you, end quote, when a center gives you a previous house ball, it no longer belongs to the center. It becomes your personal ball and falls under Chapter 8 of the rule book. All holes must be used for each delivery. So Tim Buck laying it down again.
Mic drop.
Admin. It's the well that keeps on giving. Worst of the week, Tim Buck. Rob,
maybe they could use turtle wax on their alley ball when they
listen,
get home.
I had a lot of fun tonight. You know, yeah. We went into overtime for the people. I'm glad we got to bring these guys on who are going to be bowling on their first show. That's awesome. Shout out to all those guys.
Sunday, right?
Sunday's the first show, West Region show. Rob, listen, if you're down and you want to do a live watch on Sunday, if we're both around and you want to hop on here and, you know, do this in front of the TV while we're watching the show, people can watch along with us. I'm down, so let me know about that.
No, we might have to do because Sunday's football, so I think that's not a good day to do it, honestly, because I'm going
to
be watching.
Why not? That's great. I mean, during commercials, we could flip back to the football games and we could do commentary on the football. People could watch me piss away all my gambling winnings from last weekend on the games this weekend.
I think we need to talk about setting up a live show for the final step ladder for the 250K. I think that would be, like, ideal.
Okay. I'm going to be in rare form on that one. Shit, I'm going to take the next day off for that. But
okay then. Maybe we'll have to do
We'll talk. Folks, sweep the rack on all social media. Get us out there to the people. Folks, come on. Help us promote the show. We're trying to grow the show. We're trying to grow things here. We feel like if people, bowlers, find out about our show and they come across it, they're going to enjoy it. They're going to like it. Rob, we're on like every format you could possibly be on at this point.
Everything.
We have the audio format. We got the video format. So if you guys want to just listen to us and not watch the video, you can. Sweep the rack on all platforms. Sweep the rack at Gmail. Hit us up. If you got guests for us, if you got people you want to see on, ideas for the show, we love getting the viewer emails. Yeah, I heard, Robert. I heard about the local bowling center, and there's in Michigan, I think it was, right? In Michigan. No, listen, what they're doing with the Barstool Fund is an amazing thing, man. Like, you know, Dave Portnoy is a very creative guy, and, you know, I give him a lot of credit. But listen, that doesn't mean that every fly on the ass of Dave Portnoy is interviews later this week. I'm breaking the rings out of the pyramids here. I'm going to go
somebody on following you on Twitter
with six rings and we'll go from there. So, Long Island. Okay. Chris Keller Center. All right. I didn't see that one, Robert. I saw one from Michigan today. I didn't see that one though, but I'll check it out. I appreciate the heads up. Rob, you have a great week. Everybody have a great week. And we'll see everybody.
Check out the women on Bowl TV. I think they're giving a free like preview of it. Support the women. They're really working hard out there. And
Too much content out there, Rob. I said it on Twitter to Brad Miller. Too much content. Bowling World needs to get their shit together. The content needs to be in one place for one price.
I know, but the women shouldn't have to suffer for it. The women
and I feel terrible. I feel terrible that, like, I'm not subscribed to Bowl TV, and I'm not really staying up on the women's store.
But I think it's free. Like, it's a free thing. They're running Bowl TV.
It has nothing to do with money. It's just about subscribing to so much shit.
I know.
Right? And it's having like so many subscriptions.
Peacock.
It's like I can only do so much, right, Rob? And that's a good point. Like, it's on top of all the other stuff I have for entertainment. Right. So it's not like these are the only things. Like, no, I have eight other things I subscribe to plus these. So
listen, we'll talk more next week.
Take it easy. Peace.
All right, everybody. Take care. Later.
You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.